The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I'm going to speak to you again of the Passover. I started this last week. Paul should have the first message up on the website, sgchapel.com, and it's under radio messages. So it should either be marked Christ Our Passover number one or Passover number one, and dated last week. I stated last week I got six things I'm trying to get through. You'll find, like, in the first 13 verses of Exodus chapter 12. One is, and we talked about this last week, Israel's position. Two, talked about this a little bit last week, Israel's sacrifice. Three, Israel's sustenance or food. Four, Israel's manner or conversation or way. Five, Israel's separation. And six, Israel's unity. Let me be clear about this again. Paul states it clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. So, relating this passage in Exodus, this true, real account of the original Passover sacrifice, and comparing it to Christ, using it as a metaphor for the work Christ was going to do, is completely in line with the scriptures. This is a foreshadowing of the Lamb of God, which came to take away the sins of the world. That's what John the Baptist called him. The Holy Spirit descended upon him. The Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." The Passover in the Old Testament was looking forward to Christ in the New Testament, actually performing his sacrifice. It's called the Lord's Passover. Where I left off was talking about Israel's sacrifice. They shall take a lamb for a house, and that the lamb fits the house, and the house fits the lamb. There is no excess. There is no lack. The sacrifice was enacted for exactly whom the Lord intended. He didn't tell Pharaoh. He didn't tell the Egyptians. He told Moses and Aaron and told them to speak to all the congregation of Israel. All the people of God were to take part in this Passover. It was for them. It wasn't for the Egyptians. It wasn't for Pharaoh. It wasn't for anyone else other than the people of God. There's one more thing I want to mention about Israel's sacrifice that we see here very clearly and very plainly from the passage in Exodus 12. If you look at verse 3, it says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." Then it says, "If a household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make count for the lamb." Verse 5, Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month of the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. What I want you to see here, I spoke last week about this lamb being without blemish. It was without blemish. It was without spot. It was kept for 3.5 days. Our Lord's ministry was 3.5 years, and he was without spot, without blemish, perfectly and completely holy, tested, tried, and tried to be tricked by men into giving an answer contrary to the word of God, which, of course, he never did. He did no sin. He was not capable of sin. Our Lord is our Lord, the Lord. He is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. He was perfect in every way. But the last thing I do want to point out here, if you look in verse 3, you'll see the lamb referred to as a lamb. Then in verse 4, you will see it be referred to as the lamb. Then verse 5, it becomes personal. Your lamb. Your lamb. In verse 6, ye shall keep it up till the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. It was all done at one time. But in these four verses, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, you will see the lamb is only spoken of singularly. The lamb shall be kept up. The lamb, your lamb, you're going to take out from the sheep or the goats, and ye shall keep it up, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. The people, all the congregation of Israel, it does say they, the whole assembly, it starts out with a lamb, goes to the lamb, and it's your lamb. And the killing was all done at one time. And it's only spoken of singularly. The people may be plural, but there's only one sacrifice. There's only one Passover, and that is Christ our Lord, our Passover. And he was sacrificed for us. That's what this is pointing to. During this whole thing, there had to be thousands of lambs slain at the same time. But they were slain at the same time, and it says, the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. There's only one sacrifice for sin. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is pointing to. No matter how many it covers, no matter how many he has redeemed, no matter how many are justified by his precious blood, there is only one sacrifice. The man, Christ Jesus. And this sacrifice is only offered this once. Once. That brings us to verse 7. And the third thing. They shall take up the blood and apply it to the doorpost and the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. That is, they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts and on the upper door posts. That is where the blood was applied, on the house that the Israelites lived in. Each and every house had to have the blood applied from the lamb that was slain in the evening, together the whole assembly of the congregation. That blood was applied to the doorposts of the house. But wherein they shall eat it. The lamb that was slain, whose blood was shed, is to be eaten by the congregation of Israel, all the congregation of Israel. The lamb is the sustenance, is the food of the people of God. Not only is he the justification and the redemption, he is the sustenance. And I'm using that word in particular. Some people say he was the food. We are to consume him. We are to take him within ourselves. And we are. Our believing is an inward thing. By the Spirit of God, through his gospel, we do believe him. And our food, our sustenance, our life, very life, comes from the death of the Lamb of God. And that's what the Passover is showing here. Not only is the blood shed, not only is the lamb killed, they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. The lamb is the sustenance for the people of God. I like the word sustenance because sustenance, by definition, is food regarded as a source of strength or a source of nourishment. People of God, all the congregation of Israel took part in not only the sacrifice where the lamb was killed, where the blood was shed, the blood was put on the doorposts, but they ate of the lamb, the Passover lamb. They didn't eat of it raw, nor sodden with water at all, but roast with fire with his head and his legs and the pertinence thereof. You'll read on, if you keep reading on in Exodus, for the preparation of the Passover, the preparation of the Passover feast, it'll tell you in there, not a bone should be broken. Not a bone of the lamb is to be broken in the Passover. And that's what it says of our Lord Jesus Christ. He died, he gave up the ghost. He gave up his spirit and died on the cross for all of his people. All of them. His people. That's who this was for. That's the type of the Passover. The Passover was not for Egypt. The Passover was not for anyone else in the world. There were other slaves then. They weren't freed. There were other slaves, possibly enduring even harder and more evil slavery than the children of Israel. But the Lord said, I have had regard, respect unto them. The Lord sent the Passover for all the congregation of Israel and for no one else. And they are the ones that eat of this. And no one else. God is always particular. I said it last week, I'll say it this week. He told Moses later on in the wilderness, I will make all my goodness pass by. And what was that goodness? What is the goodness of God revealed in? I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. I will show compassion to whom I will show compassion. The Lord loveth whom he will. The Lord applies, gives his blessing to whom he will. The Lord supplied the Passover lamb for whom he will. This is the way God works. You'll see it all the way through the Old Testament and the New. The Lord is always particular about his redemption, his justification, and the nourishment of his people, feeding upon the Lamb, feeding upon the Lamb of God, taking his word into us. He's the one that opens our understanding so that we can understand the scriptures. And if he opens, no man can shut. They shall eat the flesh of that night, roast with fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. The lamb shall be eaten by the ones in the house where the blood is applied. Again, lamb singular. The lamb's not raw, it's not boiled. Repeat. Roast with fire, his head, his legs, and the pertinence, which means the center. I had to look that up. I wasn't sure what it meant. But he's roasted with fire whole. Our Lord Jesus Christ was tried and came through it complete, whole. Remember what I said earlier about there was no lack and there was no excess lamb? If your house was too small for a lamb, you were to join with another house according to the eating, so that when you ate the lamb, there was nothing left over. Verse 10 says, you shall let nothing of it remain until morning. The remains are to be burned with fire. You eat the lamb. You take the lamb and you eat it. It goes into your body. It provides, he provides the nourishment for our spiritual body. We don't have anything that we have not received as far as believers go. Not one single thing spiritually. Who maketh thee to differ? Well, if the Lord doesn't make thee to differ, you don't differ. That's just the truth of it. If the Lord doesn't make thee to differ, you're no different than anyone else. That's the only difference that matters. Ye must be born from above. Ye must be born again. And that word again means from above, from on high. Ye must be born of God. And then you will dine upon the Lamb. You'll be happy to hear his word. You'll be happy to learn of him. It will please you. It doesn't please the world now. It really doesn't. There's a lot of people running around, and I've seen them on television clapping and happy and running their mouths and shouting hallelujah and seeming to be the most happy people in the world. But if you stop and you listen to what they are saying, they're not talking about the Passover lamb. They're not talking about the Lamb of God. They're not talking about the Christ of the Bible, the God of the Bible, the one who saves whom he will, when he will, where he will. This message came to Moses and Aaron. Where were they? They were still in Egypt. And this message was for the congregation, the beginning of months, for you, unto you, not unto the Egyptians, unto you. I said it last week, I'll say it again. Israel had a position with God before the blood was shed. Israel had a position with God before the lamb was eaten. God had respect unto them. God had regard for them. God sent the Passover lamb to them. And the beginning of months started 10 days before you put the lamb up, 14 days before you killed it, before the blood was shed. There was a position already there in God's sight from God's perspective, from God's point of view. He knew the congregation of Israel before he ever sent the Passover lamb. And God knew every one of his people before, during, and after his son being here. And when his son was sacrificed once. His son was sacrificed once. Singular. This lamb was to be eaten by the people of God, roasted with fire, unleavened bread, no sin, no evil, that's what leaven represents, and bitter herbs. This life sometimes is not the most pleasant, but there's more than this life. If we were only having hope in this life, we would be of all men most miserable. There's some bitterness that goes along with the Lamb of God. There's some bitterness that goes along with the Passover. And we are to take that in also. With the unleavened bread and the lamb roasted with fire, but still whole. Still whole, still complete. Now, let me take a look at here, Israel's manner, is the way I have it written down. Israel's manner. You can say Israel's manner, Israel's way. This is how they were to eat the Passover. God doesn't leave anything out. And if you understand this, you'll see this whole section of Exodus chapter 1, everything is according to the direct, perfect instruction of God. Here's what you do. This is the way I want this Passover to go. You understand? It's all his plan. It's all his purpose. And it's all his work. It's all his. Now, in this example, men do some stuff. Yes, they do. That's what it is. That's why we're saying this is a type. This lamb, the actual Passover lamb that they offered in Egypt at that time, never took away one sin. Not one. It was a foreshadowing. It was a metaphor. It was a type. Now, it was absolutely necessary to be done at that time because God said, if you don't do it, bad things are going to happen. And bad things did happen where this was not done. But as far as actually taking away a single sin, the blood of a lamb never took away any sin. Only the blood of God's Son, his precious blood. That's what this was looking forward to. It was absolutely necessary. It had to be done, and it was done. But their manner and their way of eating is also told here. You eat the lamb. That's not a request. That's a command. Your loins girded, shoes on, your staff in your hand, and you eat it in haste. Colon. That's the punctuation there. It is the Lord's Passover. Just in case you weren't sure who you're dealing with. You eat it with your loins girded. They will tell people, they used to tell people the expression. Gird up your loins for battle. You wrap up certain things. You wrap up part of your body. You strap up, as they say nowadays. Or you strap it on. But this was a protection. Gird up your loins because there's a battle coming. Be ready for it. Have your shoes on. Be ready to leave. Be ready to move. Be ready to march. Be ready to walk. There's a walk for the people of God. And have your staff in your hand. Be ready to travel. And it says, eat it in haste. Eat it now. What about tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, eat it in haste. Eat it now. Eat the lamb. Feast on the lamb. Draw sustenance from the lamb. Nourishment, strength, everything comes from the Lamb of God. Love Christ every day. Love Christ. Believe Christ all the time. Don't wait. Do it in haste. Do it with your loins girded, your shoes on, your staff in your hand. Be ready. Be ready. This was not a leisurely repast. The lamb is to be consumed this night. The manna that was given in the wilderness, or will be given in the wilderness from the point of view here later, you ate that day. If you tried to keep some overnight, it spoiled. You have to have the manna. You have to have the lamb every day. The lamb whose blood was shed became sustenance for those in the house, and they were to eat it ready, ready to leave, ready to march, ready to walk, expecting to walk, expecting to leave at any time in a moment's notice, and yet none of that lamb goes to waste. None of it. Next week, Israel's separation and Israel's unity. Thank you. Bye.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.